Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show with your hosts, Ted and Austin Brewer, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brewer, and I'm so glad that you are with us today. My guest today with Austin is Dave Hodges. He's a very, very good friend. He's been on the show many times. I've been on his show many times, and we're kind of like partners in this endeavor to try to get the word out as far as what's going on globally and nationally in the United States. So welcome, Dave, to the show.
Hey, it's good to be with you. It's always great to be on your show.
Thank you so much, Dave. And Austin, I'm glad you're with us, too. Also, a reminder to everybody, tomorrow night, Friday morning, between 1 and 3 a.m. Eastern time, and 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock Pacific time, I will be on Coast to Coast with George Norrie for 2 full hours, and so I'll be busy prepping for that show today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn the show over today to Dave and to Austin, and I'm going to go ahead and gracefully bow out, but I just want you guys to know that I appreciate you for supporting Health Masters. I appreciate Dave for being here and helping with the show today, and I thank Austin for being on the show with me every single day. God bless you, too. Okay, Dave, Austin, it's you guys. God bless.
All right, I appreciate it, bud. Glad you were on there for first minute. Dave, anyways, how are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thanks to Health Masters. I was really under the weather there for a few weeks, and I called up whining to your dad, and next thing I know, I get a next-day shipment of all kinds of little goodies, and I took them, and boy, oh boy, did I clear up.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, we went with the healthy immune protocol and got that out to you, because we definitely got to have you on top of your game, especially with everything that's going on right now and waking everybody up and informing people. Definitely, definitely important to be very healthy.
Yeah, my wife, I remember when I got started in this and we were starting to get a little bit of attention out there, and my wife said, "Do you think you'll ever run out of things to write about?" It's kind of like I get analysis paralysis now because there's so much bad stuff going on. I don't know where to start.
Well, yeah, there definitely is. I want to touch a few things on that Brussels bombing yesterday. I know you are always very knowledgeable on a lot of stuff that's going on. Do you think that was another really true Islamic ISIS threat, or you think they're trying to do this again to try and push us into war with Syria? I saw that article yesterday that the former advisor to Hillary Clinton came out immediately after it, basically said that they need to invade Syria for the deadly attacks because Assad was probably involved in it. What do you think about all that?
That is my number two choice. Number one on my hit parade for most likely explanations, it is what it appears to be.
Okay.
A terrorist attack involving ISIS. Oh, yes, the ISIS we created. Oh,
right.
Wait a minute now. We could build a bridge to number two. Sorry for my sarcasm. But since Hillary and friends, Obama, and the CIA created ISIS, according to, Army Special Operations Officer, Advisor to the President, Scott Bennett, who was on my show a few times, and he has the documentation to prove that we started ISIS. And if ISIS is behind that bombing, then our administration is our co-conspirators after the fact. And why would they do that? You're absolutely right, to blame Syria. But I think we have to go a couple steps deeper. Not only is it to blame Syria, but why do we want to blame Syria? Well, Syria is the first cousin to Iran. And what do the two of them do? They sell oil without getting the requisite dollar via the petrodollar scheme that's been in effect since 1944. Now, Russia is undermining this by buying oil for gold. And, of course, the other BRIC nations joined them. To give you just a real brief history, the BRICS are, Brazil, Russia, India, South America, China, and now other friends, and they're trying to move the world off the dollar as the reserve currency and the petrocurrency, and they're trying to move it to gold. Well, if we invade Syria and Iran, we put an end to this nonsense, which is why Russia has threatened war and why China has threatened war if we invade Syria. So if we can implicate them in false flag attacks, then we have a pretext to invade. So those two reasons run together. Yes, it's ISIS. Two, it's ISIS and ISIS us, the U.S.
Gotcha. Well, that's the thing that Ted and I discussed yesterday, was the fact that they're making it, this massive influx in migrants that are coming into Europe now, and now they're allowing them to have these no-go zones. I mean, the last time I checked, when you go into another country, I mean, you pretty much are at the will of the country as far as what type of benefits you have, what you can do, and you pretty much have to follow their laws. And what's crazy is the more I did research, you know, as I'd heard about Brussels and how bad it had gotten with the Islam invasion over there, but now recently, you know, we're starting to see this in multiple different countries, that they have these no-go zones that the police basically can't even go into without the direct permission of the top Islam leaders in these areas. So, I mean, when you start allowing stuff like this to happen, in my opinion, you make it pretty easy for them to infiltrate in and bring in all these ISIS fighters, bring in weapons, bring in bombs, because quite frankly, if you're already giving them that level of autonomy, that you won't even go in certain neighborhoods because it's so Islam-ran, then you're basically allowing them to do whatever they want. And so I think it's been a concerted effort, you know, in allowing this to happen. I mean, when you hear Donald Trump bring a lot of this stuff up as far as, you know, ISIS and Islam and all that, and he hasn't flinched on it, do you think he's pretty accurate in assessment that at least a large percentage of the religion of Islam is at war with America and Europe now? I mean, is that pretty accurate, you think?
I do. Let me answer your question first through the side door, and then I'll meet you head on. But
okay,
I wrote a letter to John Kerry, and I duplicated it five times, or seven times, because that's what it's supposed to take to get on his desk. And I had friends sign it. And the letter basically said, "Dear Mr. Kerry, Secretary of State, would you please help me sneak into Mexico? Would you get them to look the other way? And once I'm there, can I get a portion of their retirement, their free food, their free medical, and not have to go to jail for it? Please help me with this, sir, because they have very strict immigration laws." I'm still waiting for my answer. That's one way I would answer you. And the second way I'd answer you, also through the side door, is if they come into my neighborhood, and I mean those Syrians, I'm opening up a hot dog stand on every corner. Yeah, I'm done putting up with this crap. This is our country. If immigrants are going to come here, they need to realize they live under the law of the Constitution. It's not the other way around. And, of course, when you've got Attorney General Loretta Lynch Mobb, who tells us that if we speak out against Muslim extremism the day after San Bernardino and the murder of 14 Americans, she's saying she'll jail us for talking about Muslim extremism. This is the world turned upside down. And now, back to your question about Donald Trump. Well, in January, and I don't have my figures in front of me here, but in January, Donald Trump was roundly criticized by Fox News for saying, "Brussels is a hellhole, and it's going to be the victim of a terrorist attack. Mark my words, they're next after Paris." And lo and behold, look what happened. Of course, when he said this, you know, Ted Cruisin' for a Bruisin' came out, or Lion Ted, as Donald likes to call him, came out and said, "He's an Islamophobe. He hates Muslims." And today on Fox News, Lion Ted Cruz said, "We'll patrol every Muslim neighborhood." It's incredible what we're seeing here. We can't build a wall. Donald's going to alienate people. "I'm going to have the strictest immigration policy," says Lion Ted. It's just incredible what's going on. Austin, I've never seen... I knew the media was bad when I and my community were having our property stolen from us by John McCain 12 years ago. We knew how bad the media was, but I didn't know it had gotten this bad. I'll give you another example. There's a Twitter exchange that went on between Trump and Cruz. And Trump called out Cruz for criticizing his wife. And he said, "You better watch it or I'll spill the beans on your wife." Meaning, you know, Goldman Sachs, Council on Foreign Relations, blah, blah, blah. And today on Fox and CNN, back to back, and I caught him coincidentally. I was on one after that interview with Cruz, and I'll tell you about in a minute. I flipped to the other stations. I went Fox and then CNN, and it was the exact same questions from both news outlets in the exact same order. That's not a coincidence. I understand talking about the topic, but I mean the precise same questions on two different networks right in a row, and this is what they talked about. how dare Donald disparage my wife? He's gotten so low and he's so desperate now. Not a word about what he said about Trump's wife. Now, if Donald was smart, he would have just kept his mouth shut and let it roll right off and say this doesn't belong in a presidential, you know, race. But nonetheless, the media coverage that's going on right now is so shameful, so disgraceful. You know, it's just kind of like, Megyn Kelly, what do you do for a living? I lie to people regularly, and I feel good about it. I mean, this is what we're dealing with, Austin.
Well, no, you're right, because it's crazy in the last, I mean, in almost in the past year or so, or at least in the last couple of years, it has seemed that the entire media propaganda has stepped up to a whole other level as far as the blatant lies that they're pushing. And they just do it with a straight face. It's some of the stuff they bring up and they say is so bizarre and so clearly fabricated, but yet they still sit there and try and portray it as news and make us think that, you know, this is actual factual, you know, journalism that they're really trying to do and give us real true information. And, you know, I think once we started seeing this, and that's why I think a good portion of, you know, people have gotten so supportive of Trump is the fact that he is getting so much negative publicity from the media as far as they're constantly bashing him on every single thing that happens. And yet people, I think, are waking up because he's getting more and more people that are saying there's something why they don't want this man running. There's a reason why all they do is bash him. You never hear anything negative about Cruz on the media, nothing negative about Rubio, nothing negative about Bernie, Hillary, nothing. It's always happy, happy, happy. Everything's great. They're dandy. But every time you turn around, stupid stuff like you just mentioned, I didn't even know about that, with the Twitter account and bringing that up on national, you know, television. Like, really, is that how low we've stooped now, that that's what we have to rely on, is real true, you know, journalism to talk about Twitter exchanges? And I mean, the truth is, if anybody does any research, they know exactly what you said, is that Ted Cruz's wife has been with the Goldman Sachs and with the Council of Foreign Relations. There's no question about it now. So, I mean, everybody knows that is at least partially awake that Ted Cruz is a 100% complete and total globalist. And if he is not 100% on their agenda yet, he will be as soon as he would be if he was elected in office. It would take no time at all because he's already a do-boy for him with his wife.
Well, he sleeps with the enemy, Austin. I mean, there's just no question about it. She was not only in the CFR, she's a regional head of the CFR. And in her role in Goldman Sachs, she has working relations with the free trade agreements. Now, Ted has us believe, excuse me, Lion Ted, I want to address him properly. Lion Ted says that he's going to do away with these free trade agreements. He's going to bring American jobs back home. Really, when did he start saying that? When he fell behind by double digits in the polls to Donald Trump and he starts copying what he's saying?
Yeah.
Let me give you a little, I'm working on this article for tomorrow. And I started it today. It's a two-part series. And I found a smoking gun document from the military, which basically, and it's out of the DOD, and it's run for the military. And they created a group out of DARPA that basically does psyops and brainwashing using social media. And I just laid out all the things that they're up to. And they're basically trying to brainwash us, and they talk about how they're going to do it, and it's a 101-page document. And I published that document this morning on my website. Tomorrow's part two. And they're using the same techniques here in the Republican primary. Oh, excuse me, they're not calling it a primary anymore because they told the people that you don't get to choose, your vote doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
We will tell you who the candidates will be. So they're calling it the Republican preference election. They just changed the term about a week ago, because you used to see the graphic on Fox and CNN, GOP primary. Now it's
right.
GOP preference election. In other words,
wow.
You people aren't going to choose. We don't care how many millions of you vote for Trump. But anyway, back to the brainwashing article. Part two tomorrow will detail how they institute the psyops designed to brainwash the people. And I'll run through them real quickly here. It's groupthink. They try to make you think you're in the minority if you support Trump. And then they get into cognitive dissonance. They tell such outrageous lies about Trump that you turn off from Trump and don't want to listen. And that's the cognitive dissonance part. And then they do learned helplessness. Hey, your vote doesn't count. We decide who the candidate's going to be. So they condition you that your actions don't make a difference, so you suffer from analysis paralysis. And they go through, I'm going to go through five of these tomorrow in the article, and I don't want to give away the kitchen sink right now. But these are all in play in this moment. Now, let's go to Cruz, and I'll pick one of these to talk about. It's called intellectual theft. If you can't beat your enemy, confuse the public by saying what they're saying and make it sound like it's totally your own idea. So basically, it's intellectual plagiarism. And this is what Trump did. When the primary started, the preferential whatever nonsense they want to call it started, Cruz wasn't talking about free trade agreements. He talked about, oh, we'll bring more jobs into America. It didn't tell how he was going to do it. He didn't talk about limiting immigration. He said we need to have a sensible plan with no details. And now he's talking about we're going to really limit who comes in here, and we don't need them darn Muslims. And he was calling Trump an Islamophobe when he was advocating for limiting Muslim refugees and not letting anyone in who's not vetted. So it's intellectual theft, intellectual plagiarism, and this is one of the primary things that Trump is doing. Trump is running on, Cruz. Cruz is running on Trump's platform. That's what's happening right now. He's perfectly mirroring him right now so as to confuse the public that's barely paying attention.
Okay. Well, it's definitely making sense with that, and I mean, it's interesting too. You're talking about, especially with the social media, and that's another thing that I've seen I've heard this from multiple people now. Is when they put up something on like Facebook or it's pro Trump or it's basically going against Cruz or something that basically anything that's even slightly controversial now, a lot of people are getting their posts yanked down. But then when people put stuff up that are related to like anti-Trump from Black Lives Matter, who's that group's a complete and total bigoted racial group, by the way. A lot of people don't realize that.
The antithesis of Jim Crow, no question about
it. Yeah. And that's kind of the irony about all this, is this whole group, you know, out in Arizona, they're chaining their trucks together, protesting, blocking the streets. And, you know, I was working out in the gym the other day with a local police officer, and I said, am I wrong here into thinking that if you block me or impede me from traveling freely on my way unmolested, that is against the law and is it against my personal rights? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, I don't understand why they only arrested three people out there that were involved in that. He said every single person that was even engaged in anything out there related to the anti-Trump campaign as far as blocking a public highway down should have all been arrested. He said they should have brought a paddy wagon out there. And he said the problem is now...
I've been told the same thing by law enforcement, I know as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because they're letting these individuals get away with this stuff, practically, you know, spitting in people's faces, starting fights, and then it's always the Trump supporters that they're like, oh, these guys, you know, you don't listen to them. They're bad. They're Trump supporters. And then you see these videos. I watched that video that InfoWars put up the other day of that that Phoenix police officer that went to the Trump rally just... as, you know, not biased either way. He wasn't really pro-Trump or against Trump. He just went off duty, out of uniform, and he said the anti-Trump protesters... You still with me, Dave? Apparently somebody didn't want us to discuss whatever we were talking about here, but I have a couple interesting other articles, some health articles that we'll reach over to now. BASF, which is one of the big six pesticide and GMO corporations, they're right up there with Monsanto, has announced it will be closing its GM test sites in Hawaii, India, and Puerto Rico and cutting its workforce by almost 400 scientists. What's interesting now is that, as we talked about yesterday, the Vermont and the GMO food bill, it's about to change the game with the GMO industry because these guys, BASF, Monsanto, they don't want the truth coming out about what this food really does. And Harold Swanger, who's a member of the board of director of BASF, came out and said, we'll discontinue projects with extremely high technical challenges, which will require significant time and financial investment. Discovery and early development projects in yield and stress, including corn and soybeans, will be streamlined, and rice yields, as well as corn fungal resistance projects, will be discontinued. And so what we're seeing here now is for them to stay actually in a positive cash flow standpoint, they're having to drop a lot of these specific things that they're looking at that require a lot of time and a lot of cash to invest in them. And they said gene editing to improve gene functioning is dying. Scientists are increasingly realizing that soil health and biodiversity are more important than the specific genes of plants. And the ecosystem helps plants to evolve exactly as they need to do in order to stay healthy, something biotechnology cannot do. So it's really interesting to me now that these GMO manufacturing scientists are actually coming out now and admitting that, you know, soil, the different things they use, the biodiversity as far as what they use with the plants, are really the most key important aspect, and that trying to change these things from a genetically modified standpoint is not the best option, and all it's doing is causing more harm than good, and a lot of this stuff doesn't even yield any more food than normal plants do or normal heirloom seeds do. So that's definitely something to look into here.
Hey, Austin, I am finally back on the air.
Okay, well, I don't know what happened to you there. Apparently somebody didn't want us talking about that, I guess.
No, let me get to some juicy stuff, okay? You mentioned Facebook.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind, I'd like to digress back into Facebook for a minute.
Yes, please.
Every time I would post something about Hillary's criminality or Muslim extremism, they'd come and ban me for 2 weeks. And we're not talking bad language. We're talking about everything's documented. It doesn't matter. You're banned. No explanation. Nowhere to appeal. So friends of mine, Chris Kitsky, along with the help of Mike Roach, has started a Facebook clone, and this thing is growing like an out-of-control cancer. It's unbelievable. They've been up for, I think this is the fifth or sixth day, and just, I'll give you my own stats, and I've been really busy, and I haven't had time to put a lot of time into this. I'm already up to 150 friends. I'm in about 25 groups. This thing is growing like a weed, and I've got my own page, the Common Sense Show page, and they are serious. They have the potential to have as many people as Facebook. They run it out of Iceland for security reasons to thwart NSA interference. No censorship so long as you don't threaten anybody and so long as you're not selling illegal things like heroin.
Right.
But there's no censorship, unlike Facebook. And there's no selling of your data. It's just, come on, register free of charge. And let's share ideas here without being censored. And I'm promoting the heck out of this because I believe in it so much. And it's called Seen.life, SEEN.life. And if you put that into your URL browser and just type in Seen.life, you can go there and register for free. Everybody go up to the Common Sense Show in one of those groups and just register, and we'll be able to interact with each other. What a great idea this is. You know, on Zuckerberg's deal, he lets an assassination page on Donald Trump stand.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And I've called him out on that on my radio show. Assassination page for Donald Trump. But if you write about Hillary's emails, they're going to ban you. If you write about 14 dead Americans in the San Bernardino massacre by people connected to ISIS, they're going to ban you. So it's time that we left Facebook.
I completely agree. I don't even have a Facebook. I've never really been interested in it. I've seen a lot of negative things happen from Facebook. And when I started realizing and digging into Zuckerberger and his funding with the CIA, and the whole reason why they pretty much built Facebook was a giant psych-op and a mega data collection base to try and figure out all the information they could and gather it on individuals, and then also to monitor people, see what they say, see what they post, see what they're, you know, involved in. And then, you know, at first you kind of think, oh, it's a decent idea. You just put your own information that you want to have listed. But the problem is exactly what you said. What they're doing is now they're using it as a platform to promote their socialist tyrannical agenda, and the fact that they will never let anything get posted that has any type of conservative views or strong anti-establishment views, so to speak. Everything, if it's, you know, pro-gay, if it's pro-Hillary, if it's pro-abortion, it's good. But if you put anything on there that they don't want, they automatically deem it and take it off and ban you. So you're not the first person I've seen that happen to numerous times. And quite frankly, that's exactly what it is. It's full-blown censorship.
Oh, it is. It's all-out censorship. It's all-out propaganda. It goes back to that article I wrote today on using brainwashing techniques and mind control on social media to control the public's behavior. And I encourage people to go up to thecommonsenseshow.com, which is my website, and read that article, because it lays it out right there. In the government's own words, they tell you what they're doing. And I think I pulled out about 8 quotes out of the 101 pages, say, this is what they're up to, folks. And then, like I said, tomorrow I'm going to write an article to say how they're applying these techniques against Donald Trump. But scene.life, I mean, and you go there, you're never going to be interfered with, as long as you're not threatening people. You're going to be just fine. And I do think the Patriots need to have a medium of social exchange. And let me tell you why. Donald Trump has brought millions and millions and millions of people into the electoral process that have never been there before. And all of a sudden, we have people talking about free trade agreements rather than NFL free agents.
Yep.
And people, though, are largely ignorant when they come to this movement. And I think about my early days, so I'm not speaking down to anybody. I'm just saying there's a learning curve that everybody goes through. And this is why I think it's important to have a social platform that we can exchange ideas, a Facebook non-censored type of platform at scene.life, to where people can come in and read what other people are writing, check out the documentation on the various topics, find out what you believe to be true. Because unfortunately, Austin, a lot of people who are coming and are new to this movement, they think their problems are over if Trump is elected. Hey, it's just starting. They think we are only battling one or two serious issues, and then it'll be happy days again if we solve those issues. And what they don't understand is we're up against Satan. We're up against satanic forces that seek to destroy anyone who's not like them. And it's really a clash of lifestyles. The good versus the evil is really the central theme of what we're dealing with. And a lot of people who are new to the movement don't grasp that. But if we have a social platform that people can go to, a Facebook kind of platform, then they can read what other people write, they can decrease their learning curve, and they can find out the myriad of issues that we're being confronted with, and they could be more knowledgeable about how to fight back. So that's why I really am pushing this social media aspect, and I hope it grows like a wildfire, and we need to suck the life out of Facebook. Facebook is so bad. Let me tell you what I've been told by one of my insider sources, that Facebook reports directly to the NSA, as we all know, and the NSA maintains a file on every person, and they have a threat matrix score on all of us. They have 16 subdimensional scores, and they score you on various areas. Let me give you an example. One of the areas I've been told that they score you on is a subdomain that's called known associates. And if you and I were to meet in a restaurant, Austin is on their bad list because of the bad things you say on this show against the New World Order, and Dave Hodges is on that list, and we're within a 6-foot proximity to each other with our cell phones, our threat matrix score goes up in that subdomain. Well, Facebook contributes to all 16 domains that they score you on. And what they eventually use this information for is predictive behavior. One, they want to know how to market you so they can make money while they're in the process of getting rid of us. And number two, they want to find out who's been naughty and who's nice from their perspective. And I firmly believe that they're going to arrange the FEMA camp deportations based in part on what they learned from Facebook.
Well, it would make a lot of sense because they already have, you know, the facial recognition thing on Facebook. They had that years ago where, you know, you post photos on there. I've seen it. And, you know, it automatically tags people with their face. So, yes, I mean, that would be the easiest way to go because just about everybody has Facebook that I know of, well, except for me. So, I mean, you have all these different subgroups that it contributes to. I didn't know that NSA was building that type, that level of profile on everybody. I knew they were doing all kinds of stuff on the back burner, but that definitely makes a lot of sense. So, scene.life, I'll go ahead and take a look at that. And also, guys, too, if you want to check out Dave Hodges, he's got some awesome articles on his website. It's thecommonsenseshow.com. Did I get that correct?
Yes, you did. And thank you for that mention. Let me tell you something that happened to me, and you're right about this facial recognition. It was over 4 years ago when my mom passed. It was the last time I flew. And I won't fly if I can avoid it because of the second-degree sexual assault perpetrated upon the public by the TSA. I mean, if we did to other people in public what the TSA does to us, we'd be going to jail 5 years for each count. So anyway, I went through security with gym shorts and a T-shirt. That's it. No wallet, no nothing. I put everything in my computer bag so I would not set off the alarm. Well, I noticed as I came up and I passed through a reader that three of them got together and they were looking in my direction, and it was like, oh, expletive, I know they're talking about me. And I thought, oh, here we go. How are we going to deal with this? And so as I go through the scanning device, this little empty door frame that you walk through to screen you. Now, mind you, I have nothing on my person. I have no implants. I have no metal devices, no prosthetics, no nothing. So I went through, and they said, sir, you set off the alarm. I didn't even hear alarm. And so they used this to harass me, and I know they got me on facial recognition.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind they got me on facial recognition. So
I don't doubt that at all.
You're right about how they used that on Facebook. And on Scene.life, they have an avatar. You want to put something up with your face? Well, you can. If you want to put up an image, you can do that too, or you have to do nothing at all. And the reason they have it that way is they know the sensitivity that people have who are in the know about having their face out there. I will not have a recent photo of me out there for security reasons. Back in the days when John McCain and his globalist friends were trying to kick myself and 300 of my neighbors off of our property without paying us 1 cent, I got real vocal. This is actually how I got into the movement. I was at a hotel banquet room, and they asked me what I thought. And we had about 400 people in attendance, and I said into this microphone, Fifth Amendment this, Fifth Amendment this, this is what we need to do, 1, 2, and 3. And I'm kind of sorry I did it, because I ended up being the spokesperson for our group. I had to do all the media relations and be on all the radio shows. And out of that, this guy out of Wickenburg, Pete Peterson, actually offered me my own show. He said, you need to have your own show, Dave. He goes, you might be okay at this. And that's how I got started in this. But this is why I won't have my photo out there publicly with anything recent that's not doctored up. I was doing a show about 3 years into our 8-year battle. And this is when Annie DeRiso was my news director, and she was on with me. And I was interviewing Jim Mars about the Kennedy assassination, of all things. And we have two houses, one in the country that we primarily live in, and one in the city that we have family members stay in from time to time. And I was broadcasting from the one in the city, and lo and behold, about a minute to go in the show, 8 gunshots over the house. And it was
wow.
Pop, pop. Pop, pop, pop. We had a house full of people, in-laws, their kids, everybody's on the ground. The police got tons of calls from us inside the house as well as our neighbors. We had an eyewitness. That was incident number one. And this was when I was going after McCain hot and heavy when he was on the campaign trail. And I told his people, I met with his people down at the state legislature. I said, you either back off of me or I'm going to let the nation know at each campaign primary stop what it's like to have John McCain as your senator. And I made good on that promise. I got on, Good Morning Connecticut and all these various shows. And I firmly believe this was the McCain people. And to make matters worse, this was still in the days when I was a college basketball coach, and I'm driving home to my country home, and it was involved in a 12-minute on 911 being recorded chase where these guys were trying to run me off the road. And only because I was able to get to a rural fire station where these guys who knew me, was I able to get them to break off the chase.
Wow,
so
that's interesting.
I don't put my photo out there. But that's how I got started in all this. I mean, I was just a fat little happy camper, happy teaching my college classes and coaching college basketball, and I didn't ever intend to do anything like this. And then once I got into this, I realized just how criminally corrupt the system that we live under. It's just everything. If you're listening to this kind of talk for the first time, and I'm saying this to the listening audience, because of Trump, we're getting millions of people infiltrating the new media, as it's being called. And if you're hearing this for the first time, I'm telling you, folks, I'm where you were maybe a dozen years ago, just kind of getting my feet wet in this. Everything that you're being told, everything that comes out of a politician's mouth, you can probably count on it being a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, we are the
most manipulated
society on the face of the earth.
Yeah, we are. And that's, the media and everything. That's one thing I was going to bring up earlier, too, is it's funny, probably almost a year and a half ago, way before all this presidential stuff even really started getting going, I had a Yahoo Mail account. I got a couple different emails for work and stuff, and I got on there one day and I logged in, and the big block advertisement on the right, it said, "Aren't you ready for Hillary as president?" with a big question mark, and then a big photo of Hillary below it. Vote for Hillary. And I looked at it, and I didn't. I was puzzled for about 2 or 3 seconds, because first off, I was like, I didn't even know anything's going on with presidential running yet. I didn't hear anything about it. Second off, that they were that bold that they were going to try and subliminally put that in my brain right when I got onto my email. Wasn't, you know, oh, check out Hillary's website or, you know, support Hillary for this. It said, aren't you ready for Hillary as president? So what they're indirectly telling me is, yes, you are ready for Hillary as president. Just accept it. Just take it as it is. Don't say anything about it and be cool with it. And I was shocked. And then the ad changed all of a sudden when I was going to try and take a screenshot of it. And it changed all of a sudden. And then I logged out. And I was pretty irritated with that. But that right there really woke me up, just to the fact that every single advertisement that's put out is directly marketed at some point, some form. They're trying to force you into thinking about something or buying something. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to sell the fact that people want to be accepted already for Hillary Clinton. And it's sad. There's an article I saw today. I thought this was interesting. Trump has gone on the record now and said he's completely tired of leading the potential World War III against Russia. And he said it seems like every time we turn around, he said if you look at Germany, Saudi Arabia, Japan, South Korea, we spend billions of dollars with them, and they have they don't give us anything back. And Ukraine is a country that's affected us far less than it affects other countries in NATO, yet we're doing all the lifting. He basically said he's trying to, you know, I think as you saw the other day, not pull out of the NATO alliance, but kind of, he said he wants the distribution of costs to be changed and more equal, and also, too, to stop trying to start a war with Russia. Do you think he's pretty accurate? And if so, do you think he's pretty serious about that, or you think this is political talk now coming out of Trump?
Well, we started it. We've been cutting off Russia's exports and using a lot of dirty tricks.
Right, exactly.
Which is why he went to Iran and sell us oil for gold.
Yep.
And we did it first. And then we retaliated by disrupting his natural gas shipments into Europe by causing problems in Ukraine. And he has retaliated all around the planet by getting more nations to go along with him on using gold as their reserve currency, at least when it comes to oil.
Yeah.
Listen, as an American, Austin, you want oil to be backed by the petrodollar, our dollar backed by oil, I should say. You want the petrodollar, because if we don't keep it, our currency will hyperinflate and the economy will be done.
Now,
that's
do
a hard
you
thing
think-
to say.
Yeah, no, I understand. But, I mean, do you think at some point, though, it's inevitable as far as the way the Federal Reserve has been just massively increasing the printing and the way everything is going with the interest on the money and the, what, 10 or 19, 20 trillion dollars? I mean, do you think it's inevitable at some point that, I mean, the dollar is going to collapse regardless of what else happens with the petrodollar?
No, I think if we stayed firm, if the world stayed firmly on the petrodollar, our economy could survive this terrible debt. It's a matter of ratio.
Okay.
Here's the deal. We got about $20 trillion of debt. And you have to balance that versus what we gain by people coming to us and purchasing our dollars and buying oil. Does the planet buy $20 trillion of oil? Not quite. But what we buy, or what the world buys for in oil, and they use the dollar to back up, it more than meets our yearly debt.
Okay.
So we're able to stay afloat. I mean, we're kind of like a ship that's taken on water. We've had to close a bunch of compartments in the ship to stay afloat, but we're basically okay. And people say, how can you be okay with $20 trillion of debt? We're maintaining. We're treading water.
Do you think it'd be a good idea
that our economy is teetering right now? This is why we're seeing food inflation and some other real negative signs right now, because a lot of the world is going to buying oil with gold. And at this gate, well, first of all, I'll tell you this. The Federal Reserve will never let us go very far. We will have World War III.
Right.
And this is why it'll start. And they're waiting for the new president to start the war. You can take that to the bank. No pun intended.
Okay. That's interesting.
So I'm telling you right now, if Hillary's elected, we'll be at war within 2017. By the time that year is over, we will be fighting Russia and China.
Do you think they'll try and do it anyways, even if Trump gets in? And use him as a
scapegoat?
I think
they'll try to manipulate it with false flag attacks, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Look, let me tell you how far the other side's going to go. And this is kind of going back to square one. Why is everybody against Trump except the middle class? Well,
yeah.
Think about Ted Cruz. How did he get into office? Corporate money. How did Kasich get into his various political positions? Corporate money. Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, corporate money. And Trump is talking about no free trade agreements. You're going to bring your products back into the country after you've made millions of Americans lose jobs? Good. We're going to charge you a 35% tax. He is changing the game back to what it was in the 1980s when we still had a viable economy. And the corporates have had it their way for 25 to 30 years. They're not going to give this up without a fight. And let me give you the proof in the pudding here. Lindsey Graham came out over the weekend and said, if Donald Trump gets the Republican nomination, all Republicans should vote for Hillary. Why? Because Hillary won't change the status quo. And the corporations will get rich while we continue to get poorer. And who puts Lindsey Graham into office? Corporations. Now, why is Lindsey Graham willing to destroy the Republican Party? Why? Why are these other people coming out and saying, we don't care what you want, America. To hell with you. We're going to tell you who the candidates are going to be. And they're threatening to destroy both parties with this rhetoric. If they're willing to destroy their political parties, project this to a bigger stage. If Donald Trump is elected, why wouldn't they take down the economy? Why wouldn't they create all kinds of false flag attacks? I expect government buildings to be bombed. I expect public venues at sporting events to be bombed. If Trump is elected, the hell is just starting if Trump is elected. These corporations aren't going to go away.
Yeah.
If they'll murder Michael Hastings for revealing government documents on sensitive issues, if they'll murder Breitbart for his supposed wannabe revelations on Obama, what do you think they're going to do to the American people? These people they have no conscience. And when Trump is elected, if he is, that's when the fun starts. But I don't think he's going to get elected. I'm going to give you a couple scenarios here. And I'm writing about this in 2 days.
Okay.
How will they prevent Donald Trump from getting elected? And you have to think like the proverbial turd in the toilet that won't flush. Okay, you have to be in that mindset. And I'm not built that way because I'm a Christian by nature. But I have to look at past deeds and say, okay, what do I think is most likely here? Well, if they're willing to destroy their own political party, they're willing to crap in their own nest at every level to get what they want and maintain the status quo. The first thing I think they might do, and this wouldn't be Republican-initiated, a false flag attack upon the Republican convention. If most of those people are dead, the candidates are dead, then Hillary Clinton walks into the White House, basically unopposed. That, to me, would be one thing to watch out for. Number two would be a Robert Kennedy moment. Trump wins very many primaries, they'll take him out like they did Bobby Kennedy in California in the Ambassador Hotel. I think that's a real likely possibility. In fact, how many people have we seen from the New York Times to careless comments by movie stars and entertainers saying Trump needs to be assassinated? And here Zuckerberg allows an assassinate Trump page on Facebook. So the mindset is there. And I believe that's part of the social media programming to get the people to accept this as a real possibility so they don't overreact when it happens. The other thing I think could happen, if Trump gets the nomination, but they don't think they're ready for the widespread strike back of the American people and the advent of an assassination, then maybe they create a Tet Offensive. And if people don't remember their Vietnam history, the Tet Offensive came in 1968 when Lyndon Johnson said the Americans were winning the Vietnam War and the Viet Cong showed them how much we were winning by attacking every province capital in South Vietnam on the same day. And we have, according to the FBI director, as of July 4th of last year, at least 50 ISIS terror cells in America in 50 states ready to strike. I think we could have an ISIS Tet Offensive moment in the period between the nomination and the general election, and it could create such a havoc that Barack Obama will declare an absolute emergency, an absolute shutdown of the country, invoke all these executive orders like 13603, which basically turns us into slaves, and he controls every resource in the country. And people can look this up on my website. Go to the website, thecommonsenseshow.com, and put in executive order 13603, and you'll read all the things he can do, including slave labor. And I do believe this is a real possibility, and Obama may never leave office. He'll get to play golf ad infinitum on the White House lawn for as long as he wants, so I will remain under martial law. And then from martial law, I believe they'll take us into the Third World War. Now, they're already preparing for civil war in this country. And again, I would encourage people to go to my website and go to the search engine and put in these initials and number. UWEX stands for Unconventional Warfare Exercise, UX-16. It's Jade Helm 2. It's taking place as we speak. They commenced today, at least according to their published timetable. There are a total of, from my intelligence sources tell me, there are 36,000 foreign troops that are going to be part of this drill before it's over. And what are they practicing for? It's not exactly like Jade Helm 1. It's where they practice for the dissident extractions of people that were going against the status quo. They're doing that, but they're also practicing to fight a guerrilla war. And it's really clear. I've got the documents to prove it. And they are fighting, they're going to fight a guerrilla war in this drill, and they're going to have people who can negotiate with guerrilla chieftains designed to neutralize them before it gets too big. Now, the American people don't have the wherewithal to form a guerrilla outfit the size to where you'd have a guerrilla chieftain that would be negotiating with forces from the Obama administration. Only a rogue military unit would have this capacity. And listen, I'm not getting this from Dave Hodges' knowledge of military history. This is coming from my very best insider sources, and they are unanimous on this, that when they're looking at UX, they said this is about civil war. And they're practicing in Texas. It involves every major base in Texas with foreign troops. So what this boils down to, Austin, is if we go into civil war because of the nefarious things this administration could perpetrate in the period between the nomination of the candidates for the parties and the general election in November, we could see widespread roundups of people, and the American military, at least some of them, will say, heck no, we're not going along with this. And that's the need for the UX drills, where it'll be DHS, their foreign operatives, American military forces who've remained loyal to the administration against rogue American military units, and any civilians, veterans, and so forth that would align themselves with them. This is actively being practiced right now in Texas. Now, here's my question, where they go, oh, Dave, there you go again with your paranoid tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. My answer to that is, why are they wasting tens of millions of dollars practicing for this if they weren't counting on it happening?
Exactly. I read that article you had put up on there, and it went into detail on that, and that's the thing. It was kind of a... Almost Jade Helm was kind of like the first staging phase almost of the protocol, and all this is now is another continuation and a more advancement of it. And that's the same thing I brought up to a couple friends of mine when we've been seeing these trains with hundreds and hundreds of MRAPs and tanks, armored personnel carriers all over the country. I mean, you've seen the videos as much as I have. I've seen a lot of them on your website too, all over the place. We've even seen them down here in Florida on one of our toll roads one time. It wasn't a railroad track. The convoy of semi-trucks. Now, granted, a lot of times the military does move stuff here and there, but the amount of heavy equipment that is being moved is completely unnecessary for anything that I've seen that is going on, unless they're preparing for something like this. But that would make a lot of sense, because you're absolutely right. The standard civilian militia in the United States would have a very difficult time getting something together that large and of that caliber. You would need basically current duty military men that have decided they're not going to be a part of the globalist New World Order agenda, and they're going to, basically branch off. And I know a lot of these guys I've talked to in the military, especially the ones that are awake, I mean, most of them still have, you know, access to the armament if need be, and whoever is holding the keys to the armament is doing security on the armament. If they are indeed on the same page as well as the Patriots, it would not be that difficult to get a lot of these heavy weapons if they had to do that to in order to defend their country. So I could see a very plausible reason of why the military would be doing this. And like you said, why would they be spending the hundreds of millions of dollars on training, equipment, military, you know, all this stuff if they don't think this is a very, very serious issue that's going to arise? I mean, these aren't, you know, they're not doing training protocols for Afghanistan. They already know how to do all that. I mean, this stuff is here on American soil, training to do exchanges with guerrilla, you know, insurgents, essentially, is what it is. So
the second component to it, too. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
There's two elements to this moving of assets, and most of it heavy equipment. One is pretty much what you're saying it is. It's the other side getting ready to do war against the American people and anyone who would join them. That's one aspect of it. And this is why DHS, you know, 4 years ago purchased 2.2 billion rounds of ammunition. They're going to be
right.
A full-fledged military force. The is why we have foreign troops in the country now training. I've been writing about that for 5 years. Russia Today and the Voice of Russia tried to bring me on their media and discredit me, and I did a Alex Jones, Pierce Morgan kind of interview where I just talked right over them, and they wouldn't have anything to do with Dave Hodges after that, because I know what the score is here. I know why these troops are here, and they're here with the complicit express permission of Obama, who FEMA signed a bilateral agreement in 2011. That's on my website. You can search it on the search engine. And they agreed to bring in the first 15,000 Russian soldiers for disaster training. Why do we need to bring Russians in for disaster training? This makes no sense. I mean, what is the National Guard going on vacation? Don't we have our own troops, our own first responders?
Exactly.
And they said in the document, the first 15,000 Russian soldiers. And I have pictures
wow.
of Russian Spetsnaz training with troops in 2012 at Fort Carson. I've published them numerous times. Sherry Wilcox in Kentucky has photographed Russian soldiers inside DHS vehicles. I mean, this is stuff I have on my website. You can't take away the visual proof and the eyewitness testimonies. They're here for no good reason. And they're here because the other side knew that this day was coming. But there's also another reason why they're moving assets. This is really interesting to me, and I didn't know this until a year ago, and I was told I couldn't speak about it until we cleared the fall. Well, we've cleared the fall of 2015. But what's happening is a lot of base commanders and a lot of unit commanders, Obama can't fire everybody. He's fired about 300 military leaders, but he can't fire everybody. So what they've done is they've done a loyalty score in secret for colonels, majors, generals, and if they score below a certain level, they're stripping them of their heavy assets on their bases. In other words, if you were a battalion commander, and let's say you had 10 tanks to your battalion, they might strip you of 8 of those tanks. And that's what you're seeing pre-positioned on some of these videos that have been on the internet. So all of the movement of troops is not for one purpose. There's different agendas going on with the movement of troops, but mostly of hard assets, you know, with the Humvees that you see and so forth. It's incredible what's going on. And they have ordered all kinds of medical facilities. They have ordered, in 2012, I published orders that the government made to build impromptu FEMA camps. They're now building, there's a group called Simon Properties out there that owns the most malls and shopping centers in North America. They signed an agreement with DHS, and every one of their malls, and I ran stories on this last spring, every one of their new malls, their strip malls, have guard towers.
Yep.
And I detailed this in detail. I went to architects who weren't part of the military, and I said, is there any aesthetic purpose for this? Is there any practical value for doing this? And they said, no, none. It's expensive, and it looks stupid. But they're doing it because these are going to be impromptu FEMA detention facilities.
Well, no, you're absolutely right about that, because then in Orlando Outlet Mall, which I live about 45 minutes west of, my wife's gone over there numerous times, and last time, when I went over there, you know, I hate shopping, to be honest with you. It's just obnoxious to me, but she loved it. So I went and dropped her off in my truck, and I just went and parked on the back side of the building and finished some food real quick that I had in my cooler. And you're absolutely right. I was looking at it because I had read a lot of the stuff you were talking about, and there's these giant pillar towers at a lot of the corners, and at the top it's like an overhang, like a roof, and you can see where there's vents slots at the top, like for airflow, but you could definitely tell whether or not they'd be pushed out. And I was sitting there in the truck, and I was like, well, I'm just going to see if there's any access points to these. You know, I mean, there has to be some type of maintenance point. And sure enough, I walked around this backside, you know, it said employees only, and there was just a regular standard door with a deadbolt lock on it at the very base of the back corner of it. And I tried to get in. It was obviously locked, so I was going to leave it alone. I'm not trying to break into anything. But that showed me that there's a direct access point to the bottom of that one, at least at that Orlando Outlet Mall, that went somewhere on the inside. And I can't see any reason why there would not be some type of access point to the top once you get inside because of those large vents that were up there.
I've been told that those kind of towers control the ventilation system, too. And think back to your Nazi Germany history.
Yeah.
Need I say more?
Yeah. And I mean, and how
malls,
difficult would it be?
Austin, every one of these malls is owned by Simon Properties, who has a DHS agreement to do this.
Really?
As does Major League Baseball, the NFL. That's why the NFL have instituted DHS security protocols. You notice when you go to a pro game now, I don't even go anymore because I don't like being felt up and searched. And
I haven't been in a while either.
Yeah, and they're doing all DHS, TSA kind of searches now.
Right,
because
exactly.
They've all signed bilateral agreements with DHS to be temporary housing facilities in case of civil disturbance. That's how they put it in the literature.
Wow.
Simon Properties, remember, the malls that they... In fact, they have strip malls that have been closed, and I have photos of this on my website from last spring. They've actually come in on these strip malls that have been closed for 2, 3, 4 years, and they put guard towers on those, and the malls are closed.
Yeah. Well, David, our music's coming in. Your website is thecommonsenseshow.com. It was great having you on the show again today. You're always a plethora of information on a lot of this stuff here. I know we'll have you again on soon. Anything you want to add in closing?
Well, it's always great to be on with you and your dad. You guys do such a wonderful job, and I highly recommend all the products at Health Masters. Your dad has fixed me twice. He's fixed Doug Hagman, and that's healthmasters.com.
Dave, I appreciate it, buddy. You have a blessed night. And all of our listeners, thank you guys for listening. If you need anything, check us out again at healthmasters.com. Email us if you have any questions. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.